Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Lift Every Voice. I'm so grateful that you are listening. Today, we're focusing on the Supreme Court and a decision that will have ripple effects on our society and our individual rights for decades to come. I sat down with a good friend of mine and, in my opinion, a rock star activist, Alyssa Milano, to talk more about the significance of this moment in time. We're at a moral crossroads. This is a moral moment. It's on all of us now to speak up and to prevent Trump's far-right conservative nominee from getting a seat on the highest court in the land. I'm hoping that this conversation will inspire you to recognize that all of us right now have a responsibility to take action. Like moral moments of past, whether it was the civil rights movement or the women's rights movement, at times when our country was at a moral crossroads, it was individuals, Americans, who made the decision not to sit on the sidelines of history, but to get involved. So I hope you enjoy this discussion and use this episode as a motivation to realize the power that you have ultimately to make a difference in our country's destiny. And I hope that you'll use that power to join with us, to continue the fight. These coming weeks will be determinative of our nation's future. Please help us to push our nation in the right direction.
So I think obviously we're all functioning on so many different issue-related topics right now, and every day it's something new to fight for. And I know being in your position, being in public service for as long as you have, you could probably relate to the fact that, like, you know, there were a few issues maybe a month that we had to to fight, but now we're dealing with a few issues every day, if not every hour, that we're constantly up against.
Right.
And I think one of the most important issues that we're facing right now is this Supreme Court justice nomination, Kavanaugh, that Trump has selected. And I think what would be helpful for everybody is really a brief explanation on what a Supreme Court justice actually does and why it's so important when we nominate these people to fill these positions.
Right. Well, everybody knows we have three branches of government. We have an executive.
Not everybody knows that. Don't take that for granted.
Well, we have an executive branch. We have a legislative branch, of which I'm a part of.
Yes.
And then we have the judiciary. And the Constitution was designed to really be checks and balances across the board. Mm-hmm. But now you have a Republican Party that controls the presidency. They control Congress. And now with this new Supreme Court pick that Donald Trump has, he's going to turn the court for the first time in about 50 years to be dramatically conservative. It's going to shift the balance of the court. And why the Supreme Court, of all the judiciary, of all the federal courts, district courts, appellate courts, Supreme Court, is because it's the court of the last word. And of all the institutions in our society, in some ways, the Supreme Court has been most shaping the culture and character of the United States of America. If you think about this, everything from slavery, civil rights, a woman's ability to control her own body, who you marry, and I'm not even talking about marriage equality in terms of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender Americans, even it was used to be illegal for interracial marriages to happen, and the Supreme Court famously decided this. So they have been the last word on issues that shape our culture. And when they go wrong, they change our culture dramatically. In just a few years I've been a United States Senator, their Citizens United decision, which basically created this trope, this falsehood that corporations are people, and now suddenly corporations have the right to pour ungodly amounts, obscene amounts of money into our political system that's perverting our political system as we know it. Mm-hmm. And I've watched the behavior of Congress people change now that they're in this world where millions and millions of dollars can be spent in their elections. And so now imagine that power shifting away from years and years, decades of an affirmation of individual rights, the rights of women, the rights of gay and lesbian Americans, the rights of workers, now suddenly shifting away to being more about the rights of corporations, big money interests, and far right social issue concern, which you can see now is that this final court, the final say in the land on all of these issues, can begin to roll back the gains that we had while we were moving towards more equality for LGBT Americans. The balance of the court, Kennedy, who retired, he made this difference by making sure that the preservation of our rights and access to health care. Kennedy was the person that preserved the Affordable Care Act. Get rid of him, put somebody from Donald Trump far more to the right, it can now tilt back.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Why do you think Trump picked Kavanaugh?
Well, from this big list that he has, it was sourced by right-wing organizations, the Federalist Society, the Heritage Society. He still had a number of people he picked. And he picked the one person who has a lot of writing about presidential supremacy, about the power of a president. And in this particular case, the power of a president to protect themselves against a special prosecutor. And so all these issues that could come before the Supreme Court, can a president pardon himself? Can a president do away with a criminal investigation? This is the one person that seems to say, yes, he can. And by the way, if you put me on the Supreme Court,
I don't feel like people understand that is a big proponent of why this man was picked. Like, hypothetically speaking, if we had a president that was impeached or had, you know, done weird things, like maybe, you know, Trump potentially had or has, and he was found guilty of something, he chose a Supreme Court justice nominee that could potentially let him off the hook.
Right.
If this goes to the Supreme Court.
If this was a chess game, this is a powerful move. Not checkmate, but it's a powerful move to check, to really set himself up to get the ultimate victory should this come to the Supreme Court.
So why do you think, okay, let's say you live in New Jersey.
I was about to say, let's use it hypothetically.
Let's say you live in New Jersey and you're a family that has two children, a girl and a boy. You're struggling, you're trying to make ends meet. You're basically, doing the best you can with what you have.
Right.
Why should you care about this pick?
Well, there's so much of your life that can be shaped in the next 20 years by this pick. So the first is, let's just talk about your health and wellness. Number one is your ability to access affordable care. There are cases now bubbling up where literally you have folks trying to tear down the Affordable Care Act. If that leaks, and you can be held again in jeopardy by insurance companies, could decide your fate. They could decide to deny you coverage if one of your children has asthma or any other pre-existing condition. Number two, let's talk about asthma for a second. We have had a powerful record in our country of the federal government helping to clean up our air and clean up our environment. When you and I were growing up, remember the hole in the ozone?
Yep.
Federal regulations where it will change that. Well, now you have a Supreme Court justice that really undermines the ability for the federal government to act to protect our air quality, our water quality, environmental rules and safety can be pulled back. Number three, say one of your kids grows up to be gay and that person wants equal rights in this society. Well, that could be rolled back as well. Well, we'll say one of your children has a complicated pregnancy or is raped and wants to have control over their body and a decision whether to have that pregnancy to term, even if it endangers their lives or they've been a victim of rape or incest. Well, that right could be taken away from that family. But what if you're a worker and you want certain protections at the workplace? Well, the federal government has played a big role in workers' protection, from health and safety protections to protecting your wages. Well, this is a person that has very strict views about the government's ability to protect workers' rights. So all of these reasons and more, your family can be directly affected, your health care, your wellness, your individual rights, your workers' rights, by this Supreme Court justice. It is a chilling reality of what this country could look like 10 or 20 years.
For me, I mean, you know, I didn't have to fight for my reproductive rights. As a woman, it was already, people fought that battle for me.
Yes.
And I was very grateful when I learned about those women that fought that battle. And very grateful to the Supreme Court for giving me that freedom. I now have a daughter. She's 3 years old. I'm terrified for her. I'm terrified that she's going to grow up and those rights are going to be taken away from her. It's a very personal issue for me, and I think it should be a personal issue for any mother of a daughter, that we had the luxury of growing up taking certain things for granted about equality, and we still have a long way to go, obviously, but I think when you do count on the Supreme Court to make the right decisions on how society should function, and this issue goes across the spectrum, everything that we are all about.
Even more sobering news. Your daughter's three. I'm sorry, but this is the import here. Your daughter is 3 years old. This is a lifetime appointment. Mm-hmm. And if you look at life expectancy and how old some of the other justices are, your daughter could be 35, 40, 45 before another president gets to replace this person. A lifetime appointment could affect this court for the rest of your and my lifetime. And your daughter can grow up in an era where many of the rights that you said that you almost didn't think about until you got older and learned who fought for them, things that many of us take for granted, your daughter could grow up in a world where those are not rights at all. Those rights have been taken away from her.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is obviously something that we need to try to stop. Do you have any advice on how we can try to stop this from happening?
We need to start getting people to understand what really is at stake. Because that emotion you felt, which is a justifiable emotion, that emotion of fear, that's a constructive emotion, fear or anger, if they drive you to action. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is to understand and to know what's really at stake. And the second thing is to take an action. Don't allow your inability to do everything to undermine your determination to do something. Take some action. You and I are here because people didn't look at the grandeur of the problems and say, I can't do anything about it. They took some step. They attended a protest. They lobbied their Congress. They called their senator. Take a step of action, because I believe, as I've seen now almost 2 years of Donald Trump, the times that they tried to do things, whether it was a frontal assault on the Affordable Care Act, what stopped that wasn't senators in here. It was actually people putting pressure on those senators to stay true and to not let this
happen.
And
you do feel that when we do that, it actually works,
it
right?
It makes
because
a difference.
I think that for us, we fight on so many levels that sometimes we feel like it doesn't make a difference because there's so much to fight for right now. But as a senator, you feel that it makes a difference.
There's no good deed that's in a righteous cause that's ever wasted. It makes a difference. And I sit here right now, you know, when I was growing up and a baby in 1969, my parents were denied housing, denied the ability to buy the house that I grew up in. And the only reason they did was because some activists, everyday activists, just got involved with them, helped to represent them. I asked that lawyer, one of the ones that represented my family, why did he do what he did? And he said, well, I was sitting home 4 years before that, watching TV, and I saw these marchers on a bridge in Alabama, the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And he saw, I watched them. Now, they were driven back that day. They didn't even succeed in getting to where they were marching to. They were driven back by violence, by the Alabama State Troopers. But them standing up for what was right changed his heart. He went on and he did some good deeds that ended up having my family be able to buy the house they grew up in, and I'm probably here.
That's what it's all about.
It's a chain reaction of good. Everybody standing up. Never underestimate what your one day of participating in the Women's March after the Parkland shootings, by you standing up and saying what's right, posting information, educating your friends, being an agent.
That's what I say all the time. Everyone has a platform.
Yes.
Everyone has a platform. Everyone has to use your platform. It doesn't matter if it's the dinner table or if you're a senator or if you're an actress. We all have platforms and we have to use them to create positive change.
That's why I retweet you all the time.
That's why I retweet you all the time.
And I tell people all the time that the opposite of justice is always injustice, often silence, inaction, and apathy. Mm-hmm. Do not be complicit through your inaction to the terrible things that could be going on right now. Stand up and speak up. Even if you
And this is a great time, too. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, yes.
But this is a great time because with the midterms coming up, I think it's very important for people to remember that politics happens on a local level.
Yes.
I think so often when we have, especially someone like President Trump in office, and we see Senate and the House constantly fighting for, you know, policy that doesn't hurt people, I think, and we see how much money goes into it, and we see corporations winning, I think we forget that these districts, that these small districts throughout the country where you go and you volunteer for a candidate that you believe in, and you see a, you know, an American flag taped up onto the wall with like thumbtacks, and everybody eating apples and peanut butter because they believe in this candidate so much. That is what politics and the political system, that's where it starts. And I think people forget that. And I think we're in such a great time right now. And if you feel compelled to really want to make a difference, go volunteer for a candidate. Go knock on doors. Phone bank. You can phone bank from anywhere. Just to be a part of the smallness of politics. Because to remember that this is really about people and about our communities.
Well, let me see if I can make that point even more real for you. So right now, our local elections, who is in your state legislature, going out and voting, a lot of times people vote for the president, but they forget those ballot tickets. Right now, a state like Ohio that has more Democratic voters, but they've been able to control the state legislature, re-gerrymander those lines. So then now, even though you have more Democratic votes cast, they send many more people to Congress that represent the Republican Party. That's not that very Democratic. Well, that shapes what happens here in Congress. It all starts with those local elections, those local voters.
Realize your own power
and
your own, the control that you have in the big scheme of things.
And, and it's your gift to the future generations. Right now, this potential Supreme Court justice is going to affect generations beyond you and me. So if you want to start affecting the future, start voting right now, because those people you're putting in position ultimately are going to affect the big stories that are happening on the headlines every single day.
How will the Supreme Court justice pick affect gun violence prevention?
I mean, this in a profound way. We've seen Supreme Court cases be decided that have affected the gun safety issues. And I'm confident that some of the restrictions we have, common sense restrictions we have, will be challenged in court and could end up in front of the Supreme Court. So just everyday restrictions that we have in America, like something as simple as all of us fighting for universal background checks. Now, some Supreme Court justice conservatives will argue that's an unfair intrusion into my ability to buy a gun and to be private. No, we should not have a country where somebody on a terrorist watch list can buy a gun, or somebody who's a known criminal can buy a gun. So these things are ultimately going to be decided in the courts. And that's why you can't be reactive. We can't be reactivists. We have to be activists. But too many times we wait until after the mass shooting, or we wait until after something tragic happens, or a right that's taken away, to get active. No, this is a time right now where we can see that we're at a crossroads in American history. Now, you and I weren't called to do freedom rides or storm beaches in Normandy. We're inheriting all these blessings of past generations who fought for us. But now is our time to fight at this crossroads, where we can go down a pathway that elevates human freedom, elevates human dignity, or a pathway that takes away individual rights, takes away a woman's control over her body, takes away access to health care. What are we going to do? And I hope that this is a time where everybody says, I will not be a bystander to history. I will not be a spectator to this democracy. I'm going to get into the game.
You have to find their power.
Yes.
Everybody has to find their power.
Yes.
And if they care, they have it.
Yes.
It's just a matter of utilizing it.
Right.
And I think if we're talking about equality, reproductive rights, education, gun violence, every issue we are fighting today really depends on this Supreme Court justice pick.
Right.
And that's why it's so important to care.
So let's all resolve I'm going to take one action a week. Retweeting content, making a call to my United States Senator, informing my friends of what's going on. If everybody just says, you know what, it's not too much to ask for me to take one action every week, or you and I every day, but do something small, and those things will add up, especially if you get your friends and communities to be more woke about the issue.
Right, and I think the other thing is, like, especially something like this, you have access to information. You get access to information. You have a staff that can bring information to you. for us, when we hear a name like Kavanaugh,
right,
that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
Us.
I understand that.
So we need to find out who that person is, and we depend so much on our representatives
right.
to help educate and empower us yes. about who that is.
And by the way, we depend on each other because, truth be told, I follow my social media. People send me articles about
right.
issues that sometimes I'm not aware of
right.
That I pick up issues. I still remember a great issue in New Jersey that somebody challenged a criminal justice issue, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe my state is so out of line with other states, and we're a blue state. And next thing you know, I'm calling my governor's staff, telling them about this, and seeing movement. So we all have to take a little bit of responsibility. Those 10 two-letter words, if it is to be, it is up to me.
You know, with Kavanaugh in particular, like, that name doesn't mean anything unless we have some sort of content
yes.
or context
yes.
of who this is,
yes.
what his belief system is.
Yes.
And I think it's up to all of us to really educate and empower, spread the word, and try to do everything we can to block it. I mean, I think when you think about the timing, when you think about what's going on with Trump's administration and the investigation, I don't think you have to connect the dots and really see that this was not a decision made by Trump because of the betterment of society. This was a decision made by him to protect himself and to further his agenda. And we really just have to focus on being proactive. You're right.
Well, I want to conclude by thanking you. I saw this documentary recently talking about artists and athletes who use their platforms, and they were comparing two great people that were great, people who were at the top of their game, the king and the goat, to the greatest of all time. They're comparing Elvis and Muhammad Ali, two incredible artist athletes with the top of their game, and they compared how they reacted to the Vietnam War. And so I just want to say thank you for being one of those people that says, I'm not going to be silent. And I know you get a lot of flack and a lot of hate and a lot of trolls. But as Malcolm X said, if you're not getting criticized, you're probably doing nothing, saying nothing, and standing for nothing. And so I just want to thank you for being an artist who uses the great platform that you have to touch people and inspire people. Because there are tough days.
That's how I feel about you.
That's what I'm saying. We should all be light workers in the lives of others and doing our best to encourage each other. Because you're right. This is a time of fatigue. It's a time of we're just all exhausted. Sometimes
so many marches, so many sit-ins, so
yes.
many die-ins,
yes.
but we can't stop.
We can't stop. And we got to encourage each other, uplift each other, nurture each other, because this is going to be a long fight. We know every single day there seems to be things that are outrageous, and we've just got to fight, not let those things ever normalize.
Head down and do the work.
Do the work and encourage each other and
encourage
be there for each
other. And support each other, because...
Yes.
We need support groups more now than ever.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And you know, sometimes we even criticize each other. Just like, be kind, be kind, be kind.
Yeah, we're all on the same team. But
yeah.
But I understand it. And I think that there is some good that comes out of even inner struggle, like when we're all on the same side because I think anything that allows for a conversation to be had.
Right.
Is super important.
Right.
And
but try to lead with love, I always say.
Lead with love.
You can't lead the people if you don't love the people. I was on radio today where somebody was trying to make a joke about Donald Trump's hair, and I'm like, look, I'm the last person to ever criticize people about their hair. And I just said, look, what we need to be about is not this kind of personal demeaning, degrading. Let's talk about the issues, because there's enough space there that we don't need to be demeaning, degrading to folks to talk about how, in this case, Donald Trump was betraying American safety. What he was doing with Vladimir Putin. So I try to, you know, be light, even if I'm coming hard like a laser, but to be careful to always affirm human dignity and the goodness and the kindness that our nation needs right now.
And what leaders do you look to for inspiration?
I mean, if you're in my office, Gandhi, King, Harriet Tubman, you know, these are folks that for me, you know, live their lives and their values through their actions. And, you know, I'm a person, you both and I both are spiritual people, but I always say, before you tell me about your religion, first show it to me and how you treat
other people. Yep.
And so I can be, you know, I have colleagues on the Senate floor that I disagree with so much, but I keep a constructive relationship, because when we find an area of agreement, because we kept a constructive relationship, we can pounce on that area and get some good
right.
done for America. And if I demonized and degraded them, there would be nowhere near that we could find common ground.
Is there a way, do you think, that we can bridge the divide between the calcification of the far right and the far progressive people? I mean, what how do we do that, especially with the 24-hour news cycle and everyone has their own agenda? How, I don't even know where to start. That's part of the heartbreaking part of all of this,
right,
for me.
And I have to tell you, I think that is going to be the ultimate test of our generation. Can we bridge the divides in our country to do constructive things? And if we can't, then we're going to fail as a nation to do the big things anymore. When Kennedy said we're going to go to the moon, it drew this country together in a moral imagination, saying, yeah, we're going to lead the planet Earth, we're going to lead humanity to the heavens. And so somehow we have to do that. And I have to say, I don't know how, but I know where it starts. It starts with each of us as individuals. You know, I tell people the story all the time that I was at a Humane Society event. I'm a big animal lover. Mm-hmm. And it was just a beautiful moment of compassion and talking about kindness. And then Paul Ryan had done something awful that day that I agreed was awful. The person shows me, look what I tweeted at them. And it was just so degrading to his humanity. Mm-hmm. Not taking him on the issues, fair game. Mm-hmm. Not being angry about what he had done, fair game. But just went to this sense of degrading somebody. Mm-hmm. And again, I think patriotism is love of country. You cannot love your country unless you love your fellow countrymen and women. You don't have to like each other. You don't always have to agree. But love says, no matter what, I see your dignity. I see your worth. I see your value, and I know that you may be far out there on the wing, and I'm a progressive, but our destinies are interwoven, and in a sense, I can't just cut you off.
I think we're learning these lessons too late.
I don't think it's ever too late for love. I don't think it's ever too late for this nation. We have reinvented ourselves as a country. We've been into dark places and found a way to rise like a new day sun. I have faith in America and Americans, and I think we are going to overcome this dark period and find a place in the light. But that, it's nice words to say, but all of us have to take a sense of responsibility over that.
To get there.
Yeah, and it really does start with individual small actions. There's a scientist at Stanford that studies the power of one good deed and how it actually does ripple out 2 and 3 degrees of separation. Just witnessing that changes your behavior as an individual. And so all of us have to understand that we are those sources of power. Alice Walker said the most common way people give up their power is not realizing they have it in the first place. That every moment of the day, we have a choice to make to accept things as they are or take responsibility for changing them. And if we take that responsibility, and again, small things, maybe it's walking down the street and saying, look how dirty the street is, I can't do everything, but I can pick up one piece of trash.
Yeah.
And that somebody else witnessing that changes their behavior. Somebody witnessing them changes their, and it ripples out. And so I don't care what you're thinking about today. You have to understand that I am a droplet, but if I join with others, I become part of a wave.
Okay.
I'd like to see a big blue wave, but I'm more of a wave that lifts this country up. And so all of us are those droplets, but we can't expect other people to do things if we're not doing them. You can't want this nation to be kinder if you don't choose to be kinder. You can't want this nation to be more hopeful unless you become an agent of hope. You can't say that there's too much hatred in the world if you don't stand up and be more loving. And that, I think, ultimately is what changes the world.